Oops. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So if you don't know me, my name is Helen, and I'm a student pastor here at Whanganui Central Baptist. actual mic drop, love that. So there seems to be so many things in Joshua's abundant life backpack. And I'm sure every single item here will be needed for this epic and long-awaited journey the Israelites are about to embark upon. And as they walk into the unknown, there will be some challenges and there will be some trials. But by the look of it, Joshua, their leader, seems quite equipped for the task. Like he had a pretty full backpack, you know? But by but you see, it is all well and good to take that leap of faith into that place where what God has waiting for us, where we are living that spirit-filled life, that abundant life that Russell talked about last week. But without the right equipment, the right tools, it's going to be a very hard journey. God is the one who provides his people with what they need, thank goodness. Like Joshua, he has given the Israelites all that they need to cross the river. And he has given them the means by which they will be successful on the other side of the promised land. Courage and strength will prove to be highly important in the adventures to come. But the scriptures, the book of the law as referred to in Joshua, that will also prove to be deeply important to the success of their journey. For the people of Israel, it is an absolute must-have item in their backpacks. But it's also more than that. It's an absolute must-know item when it comes to their entering the promised land. So let's dive a little bit more into that this morning. Can I just get everyone to stand, because we've been sitting for a while, as I read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, I'm really sorry if the Chinese translation isn't super good. Google Translate came in last minute. But thank you, guys. You can sit down. So as you sit there and you look at the verse on the screen, what are the words that grab you from this verse? Is it the word meditate? Is it the word night or day? Or is it the words, the book of the law? Maybe prosperous and successful really pique your interest. In this one verse, there is so much there to be discovered, so much there to be known. Now, the book of the law, in the context of this scripture, would have referred to the book of Deuteronomy. So not necessarily the whole book of the law, which was known as the Torah, which have the books Genesis through to Deuteronomy, so those first five books of your Bible, encompassed in them. But nonetheless, I'm sure that phrase, those few words, the book of the law, raises some eyebrows, provokes some of those preconceptions that we might have when it comes to Old Testament law. So perhaps a few people are thinking that it doesn't really matter anymore. Old Testament law, that's old and gone. Jesus came and, you know, he sorted all that out for us. But I just think it's really important to state that, yes, Jesus did come and to fulfill Old Testament law, like the ones that Joshua and the Israelites would have been familiar with. But that does not make them obsolete, or irrelevant from our existence in churches today. Something to be left off the Bible reading list. The law, which came to be known as the Torah or the Pentateuch, was Israel's divine authority and divine revelation.
It was given to Israel by God. It gave the shape of how they were to live their lives by faith. It drew lines and fences where they could live their healthy lives with each other, with creation and with God. The law taught them about God's righteousness. It taught them about how much he loved his people. And from those scriptures, we can learn that too. But today, we have the Bible, right? The Bible is our canon of scripture that we understand to be God's inspired word, the living word of God. And it was given to us, his church, to read and to implement into our world, into our lives. Scripture today for us should be highly important. And that's because it's in its interpretations and it gives us laws, which we call doctrines. And these create theological guidelines in which we are to live as holy people, the holy people of God. But the Bible is so much more than just that. It's how God chooses primarily to reveal himself to us so that we can know him personally, that we can understand that he is righteous, and how we can understand his deep love for us. In light of this, just like knowing the book of the law was so important for the Israelites, for Joshua, knowing scripture, knowing our Bibles, is just as important for us today. In verse 8, God says to Joshua, "Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on them night and day." And maybe that might have been the word that stood out for you, the word meditate. And maybe you pictured something a little bit along the lines of this. Just next slide. Someone sitting there, cross-legged, you know, hands put together going, you know, right? Well, even though that is an act of meditation, in this verse, that isn't what the word meditate describes. The word meditate describes here an active reading, aloud, and the study of the law. Something like that. Joshua here in this verse isn't being asked by God to meditate on the nation's legal code. He's been asked by God to dive deep into the laws, into what they're there for and what the laws stand for. The laws of Deuteronomy liberated the oppressed. They ensured justice for the weak and ensured justice for the poor. They were the basis of forming a society where everyone became equal. And in that time, it looked a lot different to anything else. This act of meditating, studying God's word, deeply knowing our scriptures, is just as important today. Without the study of our scriptures, how would we even know who God really is? How would we even know how much he wants us to know him? How would we even know the depths of the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, who wants to bring all of his creation back to him? How would we even understand that sacrificial love? That sacrificial love that offers us freedom from the oppression of sin and death. How would we know? To move into the abundant life, we need our backpacks. And in those backpacks, we need scripture. But for it to be useful, we need it more than just in our backpack sitting there. We need it on our lips and in our minds. Studying the scriptures and not just reading them or imposing our own thoughts on them, but discussing it with others. Searching through those scriptures to find those hidden gems, those revelations that God wants us to know about him, about us. As it continues in verse 8, meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. What this is really saying is it's not just enough to know scripture, to meditate on it, but you've also got to put it into action. It needs to influence what you do, your own decisions, the way you live your life, your abundant life. Joshua was given the book of the law to study and to implement. Deuteronomy gives so many instructions on how Israel was to live their lives in the promised land, how they were to worship, where they were to go, what they were to do, and how they were to treat one another. And we are also asked to do the same thing. We are not simply just asked to meditate on what God and Jesus Christ did for us, in our, and as we see in our scriptures. No, we are given commandments to live our lives in worship and obedience to our God, who has given us the ultimate freedom. James puts it simply like this, and I know quite a few of, few of you will be familiar with this verse. James 2, 1 to 17. In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. Faith itself not accompanied by action is dead. Those are pretty tough words. They're pretty convicting. Lastly, perhaps one of those words that stuck out to you might have been prosperous or successful. But in the context of this scripture, prosperous and successful to the Israelites meant them defeating their enemies and crossing the Jordan River well, settling in, and worshipping their God. So if you might have thought Joshua 1:8 was saying, if I meditate and I really get to, you know, study God's word and I do it and it's great, I'll have a booming business, a career, like a really good career, some money in the bank, or even a nice white convertible, a Bentley convertible with red leather interior. Yeah. Well, that's not the point God was trying to make to Joshua, and that's not the point he's trying to make to us either. There is no promise of a Bentley, I assure you. I wish there was. However, there is a promise even greater. There's a promise of a successful and prosperous life that is spirit-filled and abundant in Christ. If we are willing to step into it, that abundant life, and if we're willing to take our scripture seriously and our study of our scripture seriously and put into action what we learn and what God asks of us, that's there for the taking. I'll leave you with this statement from an early pillar of the church, Ignatius of Antioch. I don't know if many of you heard of him, but he was a pretty cool guy, and he lived an absolutely radical life as a disciple, well, not as a disciple, but as a disciple of the early church. And he says in one of his letters to a church, "Study therefore to be established in the doctrines of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and the apostles, that so things whatsoever, all things whatsoever you do may prosper, both in the flesh and in the spirit, and in faith and in love, in the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit." Amen. Thank you.